This is the day that God has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. To begin this morning, I would like to welcome all of you who might be visitors, if this is your first or second or third time sitting here in this sanctuary. We invite you to sign the welcome pads that are on the inside of the rows here, and let us know who you are so that at the end of worship we can welcome you. This is a congregation that has a lot going on. Pastor Medhat has been reminding me of that. So there are many things that we would like to announce this morning for the good of the people so that you all know what's happening here. I will start by saying that there will be what I'm calling officer orientation Tuesday, June 18th at 6:30. A meal will be served. For all of you who are currently serving as a deacon or an elder, I would like to offer an invitation. I know most of you are serving a second term or more, and so you probably feel you know everything there is to know about what's going on here. But I'd like an opportunity to sit down and talk to one another and see what's going on. So I'd like to encourage not only those who are signing up newly this year, but for everybody to join us for supper and conversation, orientation, not really training, because most of you have already been trained, on Tuesday the 18th. There are other things that need to be brought to our attention, and I'm going to ask Pastor Medhat.
I want to talk about the interim study committee. We are working very hard. We met three times since the first week of May, and the fourth meeting is this coming Thursday at 6:30. And we went through many pieces, but the most important piece was last week. We start to review the survey, and it's good news, and it's wonderful things to know about our church, but there is a big piece about when we bring some of these to you to say, how do you feel about that? And is this accurate or not? So as far as I am satisfied and other people with the result, we want to know how you want to see that and how do you like to react to the survey or the way the survey is portraying us. So another piece on June 23rd, we'll meet with what we call our earliest members. So we have members even before the merger happened. So we have 10 members who can witness to the very, very early days of this church and the church on the other side. This will be on June 23rd. We'll be here after worship, and will be a meal served. So I think you are welcome to bring soup, salad, what else? Sandwich. So it would be really very interesting to hear the story and to know how the church was at this time and how our earliest members remember and can help us to remember and connect with these very early days of our church. Thank you.
So that's for everyone.
Yeah, the invitation for everyone. I mean, our guest will be the earliest member, so they will be the center of our attention. We'll ask them all the question about how life was and how they like to share, what are they missing from the worship and the life of this early church. We're going to connect as young people here or people who has been in a church maybe in the last 5 or 10 years to know how it was here in more than 20 or 30 years even. Okay, thank you.
This Saturday, June 15th, is the third Saturday of the month, which means it's Camp Street Food Pantry Volunteer Saturday. It is also the third Saturday of June, which means it's Rhode Island Pride Festival. And this is our annual opportunity for outreach to the city in general and the lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender community in particular. We will have a booth there along with Presbyterian Promise. And there are sign-up sheets for both the food pantry and the Pride Festival, not on the Mission Bulletin Board, as I erroneously put in the bulletin, but on the sign-up sheet bulletin board, seemed more logical. There are lots of blank spaces on both of them if you'd like to fill your name in for either or both. And if you want to see me for more details about the Pride Festival, you may, or my email is also in the bulletin.
Father's Day cards will be on sale this week and next week, as Father's Day is next Sunday. And the Father's Day cards are beautiful. They are were made by a young fellow in Zambia at the Tosefu Theological Seminary, and all the donations will go straight to the Tosefu Theological Seminary, which Chris visited this past week on her trip to Africa. So the suggested donation is $10. You can come see me afterwards to buy a Father's Day card. And we'll be hosting the Bike to Build, which is the young volunteers who are courageously biking from Providence all the way to the West Coast on Tuesday night. This will be their starting point, and so they're just getting to know each other, and we're going to be hosting them for dinner. I'm still looking for some food donations or some hosting, some co-hosters to work with me on that, and as we also have an outreach steering committee meeting that night, too. So Tuesday night will be a busy night, but please come see me if you're interested in any of those opportunities.
Good morning. I'd like to give a quick update on the request I made last week from Outreach Committee and Rhode Island Organizing Project, Senior Agenda, working together to be in touch with the Speaker of the House, Gordon Fox, regarding budget items for seniors. Ones that have been cut for 7 years were stabilized a bit last year by the kind of action that was taken by the groups that I just mentioned, and but which need to be continued in the budget. A number of you said you would make calls, and we hope you have, and if you haven't, it's still an opportunity to do that. It's the easiest call you'll ever make. You don't actually get to speak to the speaker, but his staff answers the phone fast, and they even thank you for it after it's over. And I have a sheet that will help you make the call just briefly. Whether you're young or old, this is of concern to us in this congregation and in the community. There are lots of lobbyists and lots of money being spent on influencing the budget that's being made. We are the ones who are voices for seniors in this community and in this congregation. You speak to me or to Dorothy Lustignan after the service, and we'll give you a copy of the talk points on the sheet. Thanks.
This is a reminder that the all-church picnic is next Sunday, right after Youth Sunday, where the youth is leading us in worship. We're meeting at the Lippitt Park down at the end of the Blackstone, the corner of Blackstone and Hope Street. And it's just bring your own food, bring your own picnic and blanket or chairs, and it'll be a lot of fun just to fellowship together. Whether you're a member here or not, everyone is invited. So we hope to see you there.
I just want to ask everyone to take a look at the coffee hour sign-up sheet, and if you feel inclined, please sign up. Thank you.
Every week I see Irene here. I'm happy. Irene, could you stand up? We have a shower for Irene, and next two Saturdays from now, on the 22nd at 4 p.m. at my house. So if you are able, please come join us in celebrating another birth within the church. Thanks.
Two more announcements. What I'm now calling in my mind, YAT,
It was the Youth Advisory Group, which YAG didn't sound that good, so I'm calling it the Youth Advisory Team, which is YAT. Those of you who have been invited to participate, you know who you are. We're meeting today after worship upstairs in the couches room. We'll have pizza and start to talk about next year's youth activities. And so if you all have not been invited to be part of that group, but you have a sincere interest in youth and you want to talk to me, please do. And as was mentioned earlier, next Sunday is Youth Sunday, and our youth will be leading us in worship, providing most of worship for us themselves. Now, if you fall into that category, you are a youth, and I'm seeing some folks here who fall into that category, and I haven't had a chance to talk to you yet to find out what it is exactly you would like to do as a participant in that, please see me during coffee hour today. The goal is as much participation from as many youth as we can possibly have. So see me later today. Okay? Praise the Lord. Sing praises to God who made heaven and earth, who is faithful forever, who gives justice to the oppressed, food to the hungry, sets prisoners free, watches over the stranger, cares for people who are widows or orphaned. The Lord will reign forever. Let us worship our God.
Good morning. Please join me in standing as we sing.
The psalmist reminds us, happy are those whose hope is in the Lord their God, who lifts up those who are bowed down. Now let us take time to come before God as those who humbly admit their failures and limitations, as we confess our sins to God, first in the silence of our hearts, and then together aloud. Let us pray. And together, merciful God, you pardon all who truly repent and turn to you. We humbly confess our sins and ask your mercy. We have not loved you with a pure heart, nor have we done. We have not done justice, loved kindness, or walked humbly with you, our God. Have mercy on us, O God. In your loving kindness, in your great compassion, cleanse us from our sin. Create in us a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Do not cast us from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from us. Restore to us the joy of your salvation and sustain us with your bountiful Spirit. Friends, hear the good news. Through Christ, we are forgiven. Our hope is in the Lord our God, who keeps faith with us forever. God's mercy is from everlasting to everlasting. Know that you are forgiven and be at peace.
Now it's time to share our joys and concern among each other and to our Creator.
I have a joy that a week ago on Friday, my niece was born, and her name is Caitlin, so very excited about that. She was a few weeks early, but everybody's healthy and happy. And I'd like to ask prayers for my grandmother, Ann Beck, who's going in for surgery on Friday, and I think they're probably going to have to take out her lung. So just prayers that surgery goes well and her health improves. And then prayers for my aunt who entered into rehab this week. So just prayers for all of them and prayers for everyone who struggles with addiction to just take it day by day.
Jeannie's aunt, grandmother, and nephew. Yeah, thank you.
My brother-in-law's father died last week, so I bid your prayers for his family. I also bid prayers for my niece who is recovering from surgery from last week, Brooke.
I just wanted to ask for some prayers for my sister. She is she was due this past Monday, and she hasn't given birth yet, so prayers for a safe delivery when she does.
Sherry's sister.
Did you see it?
Natalie.
It's a joy for me to be well enough to again worship with my church family. And I have joy and thanks for those that reached out with cards and phone calls. And Pastor Chris, who said, "You're a widow now and you live alone. Why don't you call the church if you need something?" And of course, that wasn't part of my thought process.
Just requesting ongoing prayers for Dave and Lisa as they mourn the loss of Mateo. I was fortunate enough to see them this last week and spend some time with them on Friday. They're doing very well, but also want to send their thanks for all the prayers and support this congregation has given them during this time as well.
I have two joys to share. The first is that my nephew David just got engaged to his girlfriend Lindsay, and she's a wonderful young woman, so we're really, really excited about that. They're going to be getting married in December. And this past week, I had my first follow-up mammogram since completing treatment, and I was very excited when the results came back normal. So, I've never been so excited to be called normal in my life, but praise God.
3 days ago, my aunt just had a baby, so I have a new little cousin.
What's your name?
Jackson.
Jackson?
Many of you know my husband Keith works with refugees, and they have a nonprofit that they founded called Beautiful Day for on-the-job training for refugees, and we would love your prayers for funding for that. He's continuing to apply for some grants and waiting to hear, and there's a big deadline this weekend, so would love prayers for that. And he's not here now because he's helping a refugee with something that they're in the middle of, and just would love your ongoing prayers for the refugee community here as well. Thanks.
On Friday and Saturday, the Synod Council will be meeting. We're still working on the transition. Hopefully we'll have a full transition plan by September, but we're still sort of in the listening stage, but the transition team is working very hard. So I'd like to ask your prayers that God will lead us in the right direction.
I have a joy and another praise God, as Judy said. My brother's home from 6 weeks in a rehab unit, and he's doing very well, and we just need those prayers to continue. Thank you.
Just asking for prayers for my father. He had a heart attack last week. He's back home, healing up, but just ask for continued healing.
Just want to ask everybody's prayers. I have a big interview on Thursday with a company I'm hoping to start with. Thank you.
Please continue your prayers for my mother-in-law. She's a little bit better, but still not out of the woods. Her name is Camila.
I would ask your prayers for the interim study committee. You know, it is such a blessing for me to be on this committee, and we're working very hard, but God needs to be in this, and we need to be listening very carefully to those seniors who are going to share with us their successes in bringing this church, you know, into all this life that we have now. And, you know, it's just a burden for the committee, and we're hoping that we do the right thing by you. And so please pray for us that are on the study committee. It's just a joy to do this, but it's not easy.
I want to pray for our new members and asking God to really bless them to be part of us, and hopefully we also carry our mission to help them when they need us.
Let us be God's people at prayer. Wise and wonderful God, you know better than we do how many distractions there are in our lives. There are claims on our time, things on our minds, reasons for our thoughts to be elsewhere. But in this moment, Holy One, our focus is here with and upon you. Your steadfast love has called us together in this place. Our experience of your mercy enables us to offer you our prayers with confidence. We give our heartfelt thanks to you, O God. We offer you praise and thanksgiving for all the blessings of our lives. We're grateful for the sunshine of summer, for the laughter of friends and families, for celebrations, in particularly the celebrations of birth, for Jenny's niece, Caitlin, and for the birth of Jackson. O God, we give you thanks for Pastor Chris, for her time of sabbatical, that it might be renewing. And we give you thanks for all the ways, even in spite of her absence, that she continues to serve us through prayer and memory and support. Oh God, we're grateful for CJ's presence with us today in worship. And we give you thanks for the church family who offers support to all who are in need. With Judy, we give thanks for an engagement and for the follow-up, which includes the word normal. Oh God, we're grateful to you for your support of Julie's brother. May he continue to be at home, feeling well. May he continue to feel our prayers and your support in his life. We celebrate the new members who will be joining this company today. May they be walking with us on our faithful journey. Oh God, we are thankful for all these things. Everything that is good is a gift from your generous hand. Almighty and everlasting God, we pray for all our leaders. Offer them your wisdom, that they might seek peace, justice, and equality for all people. We especially ask that you be at work through those who lead in the synod, and for our own interim study committee as they seek to make good choices to do your work in this church. Faithful God, You are exalted above the heavens, yet you are present with the lowly here on earth. Our entire world is in need. O God, where there is war, send your peace. Where there is injustice, may equality be found. Where there is disease, racial strife, or famine, send healing and wholeness. Send those whose hands will help. Compassionate God, we offer you the cares and concerns of our lives. We pray especially for those who are unemployed, underemployed, or overworked. Oh God, we ask you be with Mark in his interview this week. May all people find meaningful ways to use the talents you have given them. Bless Keith in his work with Beautiful Day. Gracious God, be with any who are lonely or abused, homeless or imprisoned, suffering from addiction or facing temptation. We ask especially for your presence with Jenny's aunt. We ask that you be present with all who are called refugees, who have left behind what is familiar to seek help in a new place. Be with them and offer support to those who help them. Merciful God, we lift to you all those who suffer in body or mind or spirit, especially Annabeth, Russ's niece, Natalie, Dave and Lisa Watermelder and Abigail, Ed's father and Camilla. Surround them with your healing presence. Abide with them in this time of need. Merciful God, be with all who mourn this day, including Russ's brother-in-law and the Watermelder family. May they know your comfort and find your peace, the peace that is beyond human comprehension. We give you thanks for those we have loved and lost. Their lives are a blessing. O God, your steadfast love endures forever. May we trust all of our lives to your care. Hear us now, O God, as we pray using the words Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite all the boys and girls to join me up front. Well, hello, friends. Come on up, come on up, come on up. Find a good place to sit. Yes? Okay. All right. Everybody here? We have everybody? I have something to give you. Okay. Yeah. Everybody gets one of these. Question mark. How strange is that? What are you doing right this minute? Uh-huh. They're making good guesses here. I want to make sure everybody has one. Yes? Yes? And? Not? Yeah, Sophie. All right. Okay. Does everybody have a card that looks like this? Here's what I want to do right now. Guess what I'm going to do. Can anybody guess what I'm going to do? Yes? Here's the thing. Do you think that I would ask you a question? Would I ask you a question?
Of course.
Of course I would. Every time I come up here, I ask you a question, don't I? The answer is yes, I do. I like to ask questions. Here's the thing I want to know from you. Are questions good or bad? If you think questions are good, raise your hand. That's most of you. Okay, what if questions are not good? Are questions not good?
So here's a good point. She raised her hand both times. That means sometimes questions are good, right? Sometimes questions are not good. So if mommy says to you, please take your dishes from the table and put them on the sink, and you say, why? Is that good? Yes. Not so much. At least it's not good in my house. So when mommy or daddy asks you to do something, and you ask a question, sometimes that's not. But here's the thing. If you don't know where you're going, and you have somebody with you who does, is it a good idea to ask them about that? Yes. So here's my message for you today. You have a card. This card is permission to ask a question. Ask some grown-up sometime during this day a question. But before we do that, there are two of you. Most of you have question marks that are black, but two of you have question marks that are purple. Anybody have a purple question mark? Here's what I want you to do. Ask me a question right now. Do you feel like you've been put on the spot? Do you have a question? Is there anything you wonder about? Is there anything you wonder about? The question is, why can't people fly? Okay, and my answer to your question? People do fly. We figured out how to make airplanes and gliders and parachutes. People do fly. Other question? Do you have a question? She has. Can I ask you a question? Oh, it's Leah. Do you have a question? She's thinking. Let her think. Question? All right. Why do birds lay eggs? That's the way baby birds are born. They grow inside an egg until they're healthy, and then they hatch out into the world, and their moms teach them how to fly. So here's what I want you to know about questions. Questions are good. Questions are the way we grow and learn. God loves our questions. So let's say a prayer. Ready? Bow your heads. Repeat after me. Oh God, help me to ask the questions that will help me grow. Bless my life with more questions than answers. Amen. Take those with you. Don't forget, ask a grown-up a question today.
The Old Testament scripture today is Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord as long as I live. I will sing praises to my God all my life long. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortals, in whom there is no help. When their breath departs, they return to the earth. On that very day, their plans perish. Happy are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord, their God, who made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that is in them, who keeps faith forever, who executes justice for the oppressed, who gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets the prisoners free. The Lord opens the eyes of the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the strangers. He upholds the orphan and the widow, but the way of the wicked he brings to ruin. The Lord will reign forever, your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. The New Testament scripture is Galatians 1:11-24. It's the letter that Paul wrote to the Galatians who were falling away from their church that he had founded for them. Okay. For I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel that was proclaimed by me is not of human origin. For I did not receive it from a human source, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. You have heard, no doubt, of my earlier life in Judaism. I was violently persecuting the Church of God and was trying to destroy it. I advanced in Judaism beyond many among my people of the same age, for I was far more zealous for the traditions of my ancestors. But when God, who had set me apart before I was born and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son to me so that I might proclaim him among the Gentiles, I did not confer with any human being, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were already apostles before me. But I went away at once into Arabia, and afterwards I returned to Damascus. Then, after 3 years, I did go up to Jerusalem to visit Peter and stayed with him 15 days. But I did not see any other apostle except James, the Lord's brother. In what I am writing to you before God, I do not lie. Then I went into the regions of Syria and Cilicia, and I was still unknown by sight to the churches of Judea and that are in Christ. They only heard it said, the one who formerly was persecuting us is now proclaiming the faith he once tried to destroy, and they glorified God because of me. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The next hymn is Blessed Jesus at Your Word in the Presbyterian Hymnal.
Good morning, everybody, and I'm glad to share this part with you. But I want to follow with what Pastor Jenny said last week about being in the river. And as she asked the students, our kids, about to ask one question, and I want to ask one question and share this question with you today. If we are in the river, what do we do when we are going in a wrong direction or a direction we don't like to go? What do we do when we feel the stream is really squished by two hard rocks and going fast? Looks good, but for somebody likes more space, maybe that's what it's not good. What do we do when the river seems less really speedy and not having the power to go and run that fast? With all these questions, as we all used to, I didn't have a clear answer to that. But maybe that's the way God wants us to learn about what happened with Peter, with Paul today. Let us face the reality. When we read this passage, we can see Paul as very defensive. And when you go home, I ask you, I encourage you to go and read the Galatians again, chapter 1, the whole chapter. And you see, Paul is very personal, very defensive, talking about who he is, how he got his message. And I was like, what's really the problem with going on with Paul? Why he's spending all this time speaking about seems like a very personal issues. He's a very smart guy. He taught very well. He can be a philosopher. You can name any smart category, and Paul will fit under it. So he's not the kind of guy who will waste our time and speak about very personal issues. But when a personal issue is matter for his call, he has to tell us. The way he presented his case led us to ask many questions. What is really the main problem here? Actually, Paul faced with many accusations, but his main one was about his apostolic authority. How much could you be surprised to think that our most famous leader in the Christian faith was challenged? And even people doubt about, what are you doing here? How much this challenge and change will change how to think about Paul, maybe as your hero or as a hero of our faith? People brought a lot of troubles and accusation thinking about his credibility. In which name can you tell us you are really a new convert to Christianity? And Paul keeps saying that many times. I am the last epistle. I am the least one. But in this passage, he told us a very different thing. He told us, I was very strong Jew. I was strong, so I was a fanatic Jew. And I was famous with being persecuting you Christians, you converts. And I'm telling you now, I'm a different person. It's easy to say, but it's not easy to change fear to confidence, to change the way people could think about him in one day. His story told us that Jesus appeared to him on the road when he was on a mission to catch more Christians, to torture and persecute them, and bring them to the true religion, Judaism. When Paul converted to Christianity and God chose him to be the last epistle, this was his biggest problem. How could you be an apostle and you did not meet Jesus in person and you did not witness his ministry? And let's think about that. You can take one side of the argument. You can take the guys who lived with Jesus argument to saying like, we lived with him, we know him more than you, and we cannot just open the door for anybody tomorrow come and say, I'm another one. So you need to be sympathetic with also the guys trying to find some rules to say how we can say this is really the group, the close, the small circle really around Jesus Christ. But at the same time, God was challenging the church that is very young. It's like an infant about God is doing things in a different way. He was telling us, I am repeating to you, I am the last one, Paul is telling us. I am the last epistle, I am the least one. But I will never give up my call actually from God. I saw Christ on the road to Damascus. So if it's my credentials comes from the way to meet Jesus, so it's actually happened. But he was reminding them and reminding us today. God is still working through a lot of surprises. He surprised the early church by saying to them, I always do things in different way. Just imagine starting your mission and ministry or any new job with a lot of questions. And in this case, it's actually a lot of suspicion about who you are, what are you doing here? Are you an enemy or friend? Are you the guy just yesterday was looking to kill and do everything bad to us? Or are you really something happened to you? People on Jerusalem's side were not happy with him leaning toward the Gentile. He's not only having a trouble with the way he was called as an apostle, but also he was having a trouble because he created another trouble. As for most of you, if you know, if you don't, I'm reminding you, the big tension and conflict between Peter and Paul. And the conflict was about the circumcision of the newcomers to Christianity. Paul was the one very radical on the way he's saying, there is no need to do that. You are totally fine. The grace of Jesus Christ is enough for you. You come and that's it. And Peter, which actually represents many Jewish Christians, the first generation of people, grew up as a Jew. And suddenly, they are adapting to a new identity. So it's a mixed Jewish-Christian identity. So how much we can leave from Judaism and how much we can take from Christianity? And I think that's the same challenge happened to all of us in different days. How much of that our tradition, our heritage, our culture, our racial, all these things we have to hang on, and how much of that really could be changed and move forward. As imagine Paul being really in troubles for many things, but this was really another big one. No one wished to be in Paul's shoes, where he pulled in a different directions and challenged by almost everybody, on the Gentile side and on the Jewish side. Because of this question, Paul dealt with these issues that explain the Christian faith to us today. For example, how do we understand God's call when we encounter people doubts and questions? How to deal with racial prejudice? And at this time, we know this wasn't put in this way as our modern term, racial prejudice, but somehow it was in the same way. It was about the tension between the Jews and the Gentiles. Who is more cleaner, who is more closer to God, who is more better. And the same message from the early first century became the inspiration for many people to advocate against all kind of prejudice that can happen because of all our differences. Can you imagine what could happen to the Christian faith if these people weren't challenged by a new leader who was chosen by God? Was it chosen not the same way like the rest of the apostles? It brings doubt. It brings questions. But also it's bring a new face of God on the new mission. And if Paul wasn't challenged by all these questions, I'm not here today to defend Paul. I am here to say God's working in all these angels from the Gentile side, from the Jewish side, and working within Paul himself. Paul doesn't need somebody to defend him, but to remind us about God's work in all the sides and all directions. If Paul wasn't challenged by all these questions about who he was and who he is, nobody imagined that by their honest questions, maybe harsh questions, maybe tough questions, they were actually preparing a great leader for the whole Christian faith. So do not keep your questions. Do not keep your wondering inside you, because maybe it's a gift from you to connect with others and to create an opportunity for another leader and for people to grow. Well, the early Christians in Jerusalem were busy finding out what to do with the Judaism. God was working already on the new road that Christ gave to them. When God chose people as somebody totally outside the box, he invited the apostles with the Jewish background to wonder. Still, God is still working. God is not done even after the resurrection. This is the message. God is still working through you. And he also invited the Gentile to praise the Lord by amazing name. The guy who was the source of your troubles, he's now the source maybe of your comfort. They were amazed. When he brought his message to them through Paul, they were wondering, but there is also they were enjoying the new reality. We can see that Paul used his mind to think and prove his case about being an apostle. If it's about seeing Christ, I have that in my hand. I have people who witnessed that with me on the road to Damascus. He reminding them and us today, a call to ministry, a call to be God's people, is not about the way God did it, but it's about who called us. His call is strong because God can guarantee that and not just depending on his human skill or talents. Paul's message to the Galatians is that you are forgiven, not because of the circumcision, not of the law, not of all these things you have to do, but because what Jesus did on the cross for you. Because you are living in the age of grace and peace now. What a move for Paul from the extreme to extreme. When we compare his view on the circumcision to Peter, who was on the other side of the aisle. Maybe you'll wonder about how two famous leaders of the Christian faith could be on such much disagreement. Paul was a pure Gentile with no need for circumcision. And Peter was a pure circumcision to be fully Christians. Paul changed his compass. In his past, he persecuted people for what he thought for God's favor. But actually, he did that for his own selfish need. To feel secure, to feel I don't want to see any other people who's telling me there is actually another way to live with God and for God. I want to be sure it's only my way. It's only my road is the right one. Now he is persecuted by many people, by many Christians, not really in a more like in a physical way, but theologically, intellectually. He was persecuted by opponents, one of the most famous Christian leaders. Nobody wanted to put themselves in trouble by facing and countering something different with Peter. He's now in trouble because of his compassion and love for every believer, and especially for the vulnerable one on the Gentile side. He's getting in trouble for people's needs, while in the past, he brought the troubles and fear to others. When Paul shared his past, that could be a source of shame and fear for him and for others. But he was also writing a commitment to say, this is the new beginning. And I'm saying to you, I'm writing my commitment down to you. So it's not just a false, it's not just a nice rhetorical thing, it's a real commitment. I was the one who brought fear to you by persecution, and now I'm a new man because of my journey with God, who enlightened my mind and my heart to remind us knowledge without passion could be a destructive tool, and a sympathy without knowledge could lead to a confusion. Love the Lord from all your heart, mind, will, and from everything you have. And totally today I'm thankful for Paul's struggle. I didn't know if he felt the same way at the moment, but after 2,000 years, I'm thankful for what happened to him. That led him to be not to fit into the Judeo-Christian community in Jerusalem. So he has to find another way to go to Arabia and preach the gospel to my people to let them know they belong to his message and his covenant, to experience God's grace and love. When our head's spinning around and it feels like we have tons of questions and we do not know what to do, please share them. Tell them to others. Share these questions or thoughts with others to see and hear God's voice. If we are sure that we are on the right road, then we should ask ourselves, can we hear and obey the Spirit when it says turn around and find a new direction? Or maybe when the Spirit is asking us to move forward in the same direction, but with a new mind, a new spirit, God is leading us to wonder and to ask and not to fear sharing these thoughts with others. Amen. And now it's another practice of our joy here in the church of really welcoming our new members. I invite Gina. Is Gina here?
On her way.
Should we get the
microphone? Maybe we'll stand over this way.
I'd like to call forward John Abernathy, Meg Armstrong, John Boucher, and Tammy Murray. John, Meg, John and Tammy have been received by the session into the membership of the church. You are here to declare your faith and to be joined with this congregation in the service of Jesus Christ.
Jesus Christ has chosen you and in baptism has joined you to himself. As a member of the one holy, universal, and apostolic church, you do not come to us as a stranger, but as a brother or sister in Christ. Now he has brought you to this time and place, so you may confess his name before these sisters and brothers to serve as a faithful disciple.
Please show your intention to unite with the church by answering these questions. Who is your Lord and Savior?
Jesus Christ.
Do you trust in him? If so, answer, I do.
Do you intend to be his disciples, to obey his word, and to show his love?
Do you promise to be a faithful member of this congregation, giving of yourself in every way, and so fulfill your calling as a disciple of Jesus Christ our Lord,
and Savior? If so, answer, I do.
This question is for the congregation. Do we, the members of this church, promise to welcome and involve these new members, share our faith and ministry together, so that we may grow as disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ? If so, answer, we do. We do.
Let us pray. Gracious and ever-loving God, we praise you for calling us to be a servant people and for gathering us into the body of Christ. We thank you for the gifts that you have brought to this congregation through those who have reaffirmed their faith this morning. May we live and love in your spirit today. Together, may we live in your spirit and so love one another that we may have the mind of Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom we give honor and glory, both now and for all time. Amen.
John, Meg, John, and Tammy, you are disciples of Jesus Christ. Live in his love and serve him. Let the message of Christ dwell richly in you. Whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of Jesus, giving thanks to God through him. Welcome to Ministry of Jesus Christ through this church. I want to just say a special thanks to Pastor Chris, who I'm sure is in the spirit, because she was the one walking the journey while I was absent with them for the training and all the materials about the membership. So, and I'm sure she is with us in her spirit now. Okay, thank you.
Would everybody please stand, and we'll read our affirmation of faith. Called together by the Holy Spirit, Providence Presbyterian Church is a welcoming and inclusive community of faith, committed to Jesus Christ, the Word of God, as proclaimed in the Bible. Through worship, education, and fellowship, we strive to use our myriad gifts and resources to share God's message of love while enriching the spiritual growth of each individual and serving the needs of our diverse communities and the world.
You may be seated. It's now time for the giving of our tithes and offerings.